Hello and welcome to Packaging Perspectives, a podcast from BNP Media. I'm Kristen Joker, Editor-in-Chief of Packaging Strategies, and today we'll be discussing private brands with Todd Mowdy, an expert on the subject. Todd, thank you for joining us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Kristen. Thanks for having me. Yes, my name is Todd Mowdy. I'm one of the partners at CBX. We're a brand agency that's really focused on helping our clients make a connection of their brands to their customers. And I'm responsible for the retail side of our business and the marketing and growth side of our business. And I've had the pleasure of working in the private brand business for almost 30 years, working across multiple channels of trade and in probably 20 different countries. And the same with CBX. We've had the opportunity to work with the number one and number two retailer in 10 different channels of trade and helping them really define their brand and their design strategies for private label.
In terms of design, is there something that all successful private brands have in common?
That's a difficult question to answer because, you know, private brands is really it's becoming very strategic and much more complex over the last few years, because retailers will have complex tiers to their portfolio, from value to premium to super premium to specialty to organic to natural. But what I will say that is common, no matter what the tier, is that you're seeing retailers really focus on building stronger brands and focusing on brand first and product second, because historically private brands was a very product focused industry. It was following the national brands. And over the last 5 to 6 years, they've really taken a leadership role and really tried to center on what's the role of private label in their stores, who's their target customer, what's the brand strategy, and then ultimately, how do I design to that target? Whether it's a natural consumer or whether it's a value conscious shopper or whether it's that customer that's looking for something really, really premium. So we are seeing a much more strategic alignment of strategic brand principles with design principles.
Grocery and club store private brands have so many SKUs. What's your process on setting out to design packaging for so many different product lines, like you mentioned?
You know, that's a challenge, right? Because when you embark on a redesign strategy for a customer, we've worked with customers that have 5,000 SKUs. And when you're going through a design strategy, and there are really, there's probably more than three, but in general, I'll say there's three. There's what you could have is a line look, which is, there's one that's a hybrid where there's some structure to the design, but then there's flexibility for the category. And then there's others that approach it in a very unique way where they'll choose a design strategy that's very unique and specific to the category. So when you're, no matter which one of those strategies you're embarking on, you know, one of the big challenges is you kind of lay out that design strategy across a handful of SKUs. And what you really try to do is think about how does that brand story get communicated through visual and verbal cues across different pack types, because we will work in everything from bags and boxes and labels to stickers and multiple types of printing processes, rotogravure, flexo, offset. And now you have to kind of say, how is this design system going to work on so many different substrates, so many different pack types? And you know, it's interesting, the industry, take a line look, for example. A lot of customers think the line look is the easiest, right? It's logo here, item descriptor here, picture here. To figure that out for 5,000 different SKUs that are trying to communicate something unique and different in each category is probably more of a challenge, right? The industry, I think one of the flaws that the industry has faced over the years is that's seen as a production process. It's a matter of producing the file and putting assets in a specific place. And it's really a design process. It's a creative challenge to take one design strategy and apply that across. So the way we do it is we really ground ourselves in the principles of what we're trying to communicate from a design and a brand perspective, and have a team of designers paired up with the production experts that are going to, you know, help us understand how to reproduce that file. So that the design system and the design strategy can translate across hundreds of categories, thousands of SKUs, and hundreds of different pack types.
Yeah, speaking of all those SKUs, I mean, I lost count of how many private brands Target has, and it seems to be working. Your thoughts on that?
You know, it's interesting. I think that the real answer to that question, and I would agree with you, Target has done a phenomenal job of managing an enormous portfolio of brands across, I mean, they probably have tens of thousands of SKUs because you're including general merchandise, fashion, hardline, softlines, and food. You know, it really depends on the retailer. You know, Target is a marketing machine, right? They do a very good job of building brands and aligning the brands to not only what the design system is, the brand strategy, but the product strategy as well. And then they have brand managers that support that. So some retailers cannot manage complex portfolios. They do not have the infrastructure to support or the marketing dollars to support multiple brands, but others do. So, you know, we've worked with customers that have a single brand across thousands of SKUs and then have dozens of brands across thousands of SKUs. It really becomes an operational challenge on how can you support a very deep and complex portfolio or a very simple one.
Is there a vertical market that's more of a challenge? Let's say, you know, there's beauty, pet care. Is there something, in your opinion, that is more difficult?
I would say yes, with a little bit of a caveat that I think pets a difficult category, right? Brands are very strong and they're constantly evolving. For a grocery channel to be successful in pet will be more of a challenge than it would be for a pet specialty retailer like PetSmart or Petco, right? Because it's, you know, they're a pet retailer and so they have the credibility within the category. And that's, you know, an interesting example of where 20 years ago, the grocery stores owned pet food. And now they have a very small market share of pet food because that's really shifted to this pet specialty retailers. So I would say categories like pet and beauty are difficult for mainline retailers that probably don't have a really strong presence or expertise in that category. But for retailers like a Sephora or a PetSmart, those categories are, you know, right on target with what their position is in the marketplace. So depending on the channel and as private label continues to grow, retailers are expanding the categories that they play in. You're seeing drugstores now get into health food, right? Because they're trying to align with a health strategy. So there's a complex process of aligning the strategy and the design system to the customer target and then, you know, really giving it proper merchandising and proper marketing support to really build that. So it really depends on the channel and where those challenges are by specific verticals.
Private brands are thriving, I think, due to, you know, consumers just embracing them. Has there been research on how Gen Z feels about private label brands and what type of design appeals to them? Is it different than what, you know, appeals to consumers now?
You know, I think Gen Z, who's, you know, the big group now that's coming in, that's the next big large consumer group that's going to be a private label customer. There's been very little research, you know, as it relates to private label. There was a study that was done that says, you know, they're a little below the millennials because millennials tend to be brand agnostic and they're willing to try different things. With Gen Z tends to be really focused on supporting brands that have a purpose and a cause. So this is why where I think when retailers are thinking about developing their private brands, the next consumer target is really building those brands with purpose and designing them with intent, right? So, you know, Gen Z is very socially conscious, right? You know, we've done our own study on Gen Z on what's important to them from a design perspective. And, you know, you have to take things into consideration, like being gender neutral with your colors and how does color play a role and what will that imply in given categories? So, you know, Gen Z is the next big customer. And I think one of the things that's really, really important for own brands and private label when it comes to Gen Z is their content strategy, is what is the information that they're putting on pack? How is sustainability playing a role? What are the causes that they support? Are they supporting local? Are they supporting women-owned companies? And how is that design going to relate to them in a way that can entice a purchase and ultimately keep them loyal? Because I think it's the jury's still out yet on whether the Gen Z will be that long-term loyal customer like boomers were.
What trends are you seeing in private label brand design?
I think one of the fundamental shifts that have happened over the last 5 to 6 years, because, you know, research proves that private label growth has been outpacing that of national brands consistently. And especially in the mass market, it's even significantly greater. Like I think in the mass market from 2013 to 2018, private label grew 41%, where national brands grew 7%.
Wow.
Which is a significant difference. And even in traditional masses like grocery and drug, private label is outpacing the growth from national brands. But what we're seeing is that retailers are really starting to structure their portfolios around consumer strategies and consumer targets than they are categories. It's really less about saying, hey, I'm going to knock off this cookie or I'm going to knock off this carbonated beverage. And what are the cues that are happening in the category that are being led by the brand? You're also seeing retailers really segment their portfolios. Premium, unique and differentiated, specialty, sustainable, responsibly grown products, responsibly farmed products are on the rise. And where, in my experience, private brand was always a follower. And then they got really proud of themselves because they became a fast follower. They were able to do it quicker. And now I almost see, if you look at companies like Kroger with brands like Simple Truth, or Target with Good and Gather, or even Wakefern with Bowl and Basket, they're taking a leadership position. And the process has almost shifted. It was product first, brand and packaging second. Now it's brand first, and then product second, right? And so what's the brand purpose? What's the brand strategy? And we're starting to see a significant elevation in design, which is really, to your earlier question, making that adaptation and rollout process really, really important, right? Because now design is a much more important cue than it was, I would say, 5 or 6 years ago. 5 or 6 years ago, design was a functional tool to communicate a product benefit or feature or attribute. And today, it's about communicating a brand purpose and a brand strategy. So these design systems and these design strategies that are being taken to support the product strategy are a lot more sophisticated than I've seen in the past, and which makes it refreshing to see that it's brand first and product second. And you're also seeing that the elevation of design really take to the forefront. The Europeans have done a great job, right? It's a different retail market in European markets, and the private label penetration tends to be much higher and a much greater sense of design sensibility for private brands than there was historically in the US. And I think that has fundamentally shifted. We've worked with national retailers and tiny little local retailers that are saying design is critically important today because we're going through such a conscious effort to develop the right product mix based off of our customer segmentations that it would be a mistake to not put design at such this high pedestal as they are putting the product. So it's a lot more sophisticated process than I've seen in the past. And with today, I think with some of the advances in research, retailers are much more open to taking a much more structured brand development approach than they were in the past. In the past, it was really design me a package for chocolate chip cookies. And now it's like, I'm trying to appeal to a customer that wants an indulgent snack. How am I going to do that in a way that makes a lot of sense? And so, the end result is different, but the approach that they're taking is a much more strategic approach.
Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to touch on?
I would just say that I think what's really, really important for retailers when they're thinking about their private brand portfolios is choosing good strategic partners. Retailers have done a phenomenal job of changing the dynamic of the relationship with them and the supplier. It's much more collaborative process and saying, how do we develop products together so that both of our businesses can grow? And, you know, retailers are becoming much more innovative in a strategic partnership with manufacturers. That same commitment needs to happen on the design side, where agencies and retailers need to be strategic partners together to think about how design can play such an important role. Because one of the core attributes of private label is the value proposition, right? It's cheaper than the national brand. So in that case, there's typically not the huge marketing dollars that go behind a traditional national brand. So the packaging is your primary marketing tool. And your merchandising commitment is your primary marketing tool. And, you know, for doing this 30 years, I think one of the things that's most important for me too, is when you strategically align with a retailer to work on design, think about the store. It's very difficult to make a design decision in a boardroom or on a screen and know that that's going to be right? Because the dynamics of where it's going to sit in the shelf, is it in a freezer case? Is it a coffin case? Is it on the shelf? Who is it going to sit next to? What are the color cues? How are you going to merchandise it? Those are all really strategic, critical factors in thinking about this, how this brand is going to live, because this brand, as we talked about earlier, can live on thousands of SKUs. And how is it going to live in the snack aisle versus the beverage aisle versus the frozen food aisle? And those things need to constantly be addressed because of the unique merchandising strategy. So since there's not a huge marketing fund behind a lot of these brands, in some cases, the packaging is your first line of defense to tell that brand story and to communicate the efforts that have really gone behind creating such a great product offering.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us, Todd.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you for having me.